is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadvey. On this show, I explore the intersection between passion and profit so you can achieve success by your own definition. And I recently passed my 10th year as a self-employed independent creator, and I don't recommend it. I say that, and some people don't believe me. Like when I wrote this post that I'm going to be sharing in today's episode, some people thought that it was some kind of a clickbait strategy. I think it's because the post takes kind of a turn. It starts off sounding really grim and it ends up kind of sounding hopeful. The thing is, I never expected so many people to read the post. As of right now, it has over 46,000 views on Medium, which makes it one of the most popular, I think the second most popular post I've ever written on there. When I sat down to write this a couple months ago, as my 10th anniversary was approaching, I really did so with genuine questions in my mind. I wanted to, you know, sit down and explore to myself. Have I made a horrible mistake in my career choice? I wanted to find out if I'd been fooling myself. So it was really just a journal entry for myself. I didn't submit it to any publications. I can submit to certain publications where it's, you know, that have many, many subscribers, where it's sure to be read by many more people. But sharing some of my most uncomfortable thoughts, I see as my job as a writer. So I just put it on my main feed on Medium. And, you know, at least it was out there, but I wasn't going to try to like thrust it out into the world. And so I think publishing this post was a lesson that the power of a post is often enough to carry it. I think it's easy to forget because the popular wisdom is to make sure that you share it on all your social networks and you submit it to Reddit and you submit it to Hacker News, you submit it to all of the different aggregator sites. You might email some of your friends and get them to upvote it and stuff. I mean, I don't do those things anymore. With this post, I definitely did none of those things. I guess I usually share my posts on social media, but I didn't share this one on social media, and it still really took off. So anyway, now seems like an appropriate time to remind you that this show is supported in part by members of Love Your Work Elite. It is a program that I run on Patreon, which is a platform for supporting all sorts of independent creators. There's artists and musicians and podcasters like me on there. And I spend many hours each week preparing the show. I spend several hundred dollars each month publishing it to you so that you can enjoy it for free. The new episodes are free. The entire back catalog, really getting close to 100 episodes, is all free. I like to keep it that way. And I do have sponsors sometimes on the show. So for example, Skillshare is signed up for the rest of the year, which is something that I'm extremely grateful for. But these sponsorships alone aren't enough to sustain the show. They could be if the show grew much larger, but you know, the more I think about it, that's not really what I'm going for. I think that we have a solid listener base here, nice solid base of dedicated listeners. I'm always trying to find ways to make the show better, but the listenership growing is not the top priority for me right now. I want to focus on making the show a better version of what it is. I don't want to change the show just to try to get more listeners or to try to attract more sponsors. If those things happen as a result of making a better version of what it is, that's great, but that's not what I'm going for. So if you are really strapped for cash, go ahead, keep enjoying the show for free. If you have some extra money and this show is providing some value in your life, think about it. If it's providing much needed intellectual nourishment and entertainment during your commute or while you're cooking, if it's taking up space that might otherwise be used by a subscription service, a streaming service, or an audiobook or something like that, please consider joining Love Your Work Elite. You could call it a donation. It's really much more than that. You'll get your own personal RSS feed that you can plug into your favorite podcast listening app. You'll get early access to episodes. You'll get early access to ad-free interviews. You'll get masterclasses and monthly office hours hangouts with me and the rest of the community. To sign up for Love Your Work Elite, go to lywelite.com. Again, that's lywelite.com. And by the way, we have a Love Your Work Elite testimonial in the form of a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Steady Pursuit. Steady Pursuit is the name of this person, says in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, David produces a phenomenal podcast that offers inspiration and practical applications that you can use in everyday work and life. Then they go on to say, if you're wondering if being an elite member is worth it, I'm loving all the bonus content. And I'm really glad that you are. I'm glad that it's worth it for you. Steady Pursuit, thank you so much, not only for reviewing the show, but also for being a Love Your Work Elite member. You are a dedicated supporter of the show, and I really appreciate it so much. So to join Steady Pursuit and the rest of the Love Your Work Elite community, go to lywelite.com. And I have a big update. It is a big update on our quest for 500,000 downloads. We were trying to hit 500,000 by November. Then I told you a few episodes back that I discovered a huge chunk of Spotify streams that I didn't even know about before. And that also gave us a big boost. So now it's official. Love Your Work has 500,000 downloads. 500,000. That's just incredible to me. Thank you so much for telling your friends about the show and helping it spread. And so now when are we going to hit the 1 million mark? I announced that we had hit 250,000 back on episode 61 with Hugh MacLeod. That was back in February. Valentine's Day, in fact, was when that episode came out. So it took about 14 months to hit 250,000. And then it's taken a little more than 7 months to get to 500,000. So that's double the downloads in half the time. I'm not exactly a math whiz, but if we could double our downloads in half the time again, we would hit 1 million somewhere in the first month of 2018, which seems aggressive. Maybe it will happen. It might be more like maybe April is a realistic time to reach that. Let's find out. For now, here's the article. I've been a self-employed independent creator for 10 years. I don't recommend it. Today marks my 10th year as a self-employed independent creator. I don't recommend it. It all started when my boss called me into a conference room. As I followed her down the hall, I noticed she was carrying a manila envelope. I could sense what was coming. It was a short meeting. She told me I was terminated, and I felt relieved. I got up and thanked her. July 17th, 2007 will be a special day in my life, I told her, smiling genuinely. I rode the antique elevator and stepped out onto Market Street, walking confidently one more time past the tourists in line for the streetcar. I descended into the Powell Street BART station. I felt sure that I'd never work for someone else again. My will to work was gone. I cashed out a big chunk of my retirement fund to buy myself some time. After all, I had spent years eating 80-cent banquet meals for lunch, saving for this moment. The next morning, I opened my eyes to vastness. There was nothing but time to be filled, like I was just floating in space. I could do anything I wanted with that vastness. Build a startup, write a book, or play Guitar Hero and eat nachos. That was every bit as scary as it was exciting. My mission was to reconnect with my curiosity. That feeling that I had had so many times, alone in my room, drawing or reading, the time passing so quickly I'd forget to eat. I wanted to find that again. If I could just find a little snowball of curiosity, I imagined that I could keep rolling it. It would get bigger and bigger, and it would fill up the vastness. Eventually, maybe I'd have my own planet to stand on. That was 10 years ago. I stuck with my mission, but I never imagined it would take this long. In the beginning, I was convinced I would become a billionaire within 6 months. Never mind exactly how that was going to happen or why I would even want such a thing. When I cleared out my apartment in Nebraska to move to Silicon Valley, I dreamed that I might make it in some big city. At this point, I merely hope to find a way of making a living that doesn't have me scared on a regular basis. It's not that I'm on the verge of bankruptcy. The most valuable lessons of my upbringing were to strive to be financially secure, if not financially paranoid. I recouped the $40,000 of stock I cashed out initially, and then some. Heck, I have savings, which puts me ahead of most Americans. I live a pretty comfortable life. My strange health problems are even more affordable now that I've moved to Colombia to reduce my expenses for the next stage of my plan. On New Year's Eve, as 2008 turned into 2009, I stayed home, alone, in my drafty apartment in Chicago's Ukrainian village. After a year on my own and a failed startup attempt, I had fled Silicon Valley. I felt pressure in my skull, as if my brain were going to hatch. I felt restlessness in my fingertips. I needed a cold winter, cheap rent, and some space to figure out what it was all about. On my knees on the hardwood floor, on an $11 piece of tile board from Home Depot, I sketched this plan. And it's a sketch of my plan about active income, passive income, and speculative income, and how I would use my time and where the money would come from. This was how I would bootstrap my way into making a living following my curiosity. The plan was to make as little money as I needed, with as little of my time as possible, and to use the rest of that time to discover and pursue what gave me that feeling of flow I had experienced as a child. Since I had spent as much of my savings as I was comfortable with for now, first, I would freelance. My goal was 10 billable hours a week. With the rest of my time, I would explore ways to make passive revenue. As I made passive revenue, I would reduce freelancing hours and spend time on whatever I was curious about. Eventually, what I was curious about would make money. I would use that money to explore the next thing, and I'd repeat. That's exactly what I did, and the timing was fortuitous every step of the way. Shortly after moving to Chicago, I landed Odesk, or Upwork, as a client for roughly 10 hours a week. As that contract ended, I started earning passive revenue from one of my experiments. As that revenue stream dropped, I got a book deal, and another revenue stream popped up to supplement my meager advance payments. This all took about 3 years. Now, 6 years after Design for Hackers, I'm hoping that the timing is good again. I supplemented D4H with some online courses. I spoke all over the world and traveled. It was an amazing experience, and I made some good money for a few years, enough that I almost felt like I was making as much as I would have if I had stayed on the career track as a designer in Silicon Valley. I had the opportunity to scale D4H. I turned down so much freelance work, I could have started a design firm. I toyed with the idea of expanding the courses and training. I turned down an opportunity to work full-time at a company that eventually sold to Google. But ultimately, none of it was what I wanted. It wasn't what I was curious about. I recognized early on in the D4H success, it debuted in the top 20 on Amazon, that I didn't want to juice it. I wanted instead to use that freedom and the lessons learned from the experience to be a better writer. More importantly, to be a better thinker so I could be a better writer. I didn't want the distractions of building a larger business around it. A couple of years ago, I was in Mexico on a retreat with some entrepreneur friends. We dedicated a whole week to discussing each other's directions in life, where we wanted to go, what we wanted to stand for, what we wanted to do next. It took that long to dig through the accumulated years of my own bullshit and admit it to myself. It was hard to say it out loud. I just want to read about things that interest me, have conversations, use it all to inform my understanding of the world, and share what I've learned. During that first year of self-employment, I had watched the Steve Jobs Stanford commencement speech over and over. Every idea in that speech resonated so deeply with what I believed and the way I was trying to live my life. It brought me to tears regularly. In fact, it's bringing me to tears as I recall it. One such idea is that you should, quote, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become, unquote. I think what touches me so much about that idea is that I know now, better than ever, the forces of heart and intuition. They'll lead you to do things that don't seem rational. They'll make you pass up opportunities a rational person would take. They'll make you take risks that don't make sense at the time. They'll lead you to scary places. They'll make you question your own sanity. As I tell this story, it's nice and neat. Past decisions line up to future outcomes. The reality is much messier. I didn't know why I was eating 80-cent microwave lunches. I didn't know why I was socking away money in the stock market. I didn't know why I was leaving Silicon Valley with job offers nipping at my tail. Each of these actions created future opportunities that I never foresaw. My heart and intuition knew what I wanted to become. Even when I sketched that plan on my living room floor, though I ended up following it exactly, I didn't know why I was doing it. So when I finally said those words in Mexico, I realized that I had already set the wheels in motion. I was already editing the first episodes of Love Your Work. I already had a one-way ticket to Colombia. I had already spent years honing my writing, building an audience, and taking voice and storytelling classes. I had been afraid to admit what I wanted because I knew it would be scary. Heart and intuition, and for me, curiosity, will make you do scary things. By the time you discover why, it's too late to go back. It's true that we tend to rationalize things after the fact. It's quite possible that there's some parallel universe where I stayed in my hometown with my friends and family, or somehow mustered the strength to remain a designer in Silicon Valley. Maybe I'm even happier in those worlds. That's hard for me to imagine. I remember early on in my quest, my dad asking me, "So, at some point, will you decide to get a job?" It's the kind of question you'd expect from a guy who held onto the same job for 37 years. I thought about it for a minute. A complex web of potential causes and effects unfurled in my mind. Every day, I was learning something new, and each one of those things would branch off into three more things. My answer was a clear no. There are plenty of practical ways for me to make a living. I can design and write. I could probably still dig a ditch, and I oddly fantasize about becoming a plumber. But as things stand now, I'm still at the whim of my curiosity. It makes me churn out Love Your Work episodes every week, growing along with my listeners with each conversation I have. And since it's been 6 years since my last book, it's ironic that I'm writing a book called Getting Art Done. Are these things lucrative? No, that's why I'm scared. Yes, there's money to be made selling more courses or coaching, or I could spend my mental energy trying to capture tiny bits of attention by hacking Facebook's bewildering feed algorithm or by creating the most controversial content I can. Maybe I should have arguments with my podcast guests. I want to make a living creating. I don't want creating to be merely a marketing strategy for other things. Is that completely insane? While I agree that real artists don't starve, the models for making money as a creator don't really suit my sensibilities. People are beginning to support Love Your Work on Patreon. It seems inevitable to me that the blockchain will bust down some of the barriers to value flow with sites such as Steemit. Love Your Work is starting to get sponsorships, but it needs more listeners to be sustainable that way. Books are probably the most honest exchange of value out there. A bargain, really. So getting art done, once I get it done, could bring in anywhere from $1,000 to a bajillion dollars. I'm strangely comforted by stories of other creators, such as comedians like Louis C.K., who struggled for decades before suddenly growing exponentially in success and skill. This is a dangerous comfort, as for everyone who made it, there are probably hundreds who drank themselves to death, or perhaps worse, wound up teaching level one improv classes at Second City. If I reflect on my own growth as a creator, I can see exponential growth in my own skill in certain areas, the same way a skyscraper quickly rises after the foundation is slowly set. Growth in the commensurate success, however, tends to happen in tiny explosions that are hard to engineer and impossible to predict. So I'm still committed to this. I sense that I'm close, though I've sensed that many times before. It's possible I'll end up achieving some tamer version of my vision where I'm making creative compromises to pay the bills. It's possible life will get in the way and I'll hang it up. It's possible the sunk cost fallacy will lead me to ruin and I'll be found rambling and incoherent on the streets of Baltimore, only to die a few hours later. I really don't know. But take it from me, a 10-year veteran, self-employed creator. If you are looking for security or reassurance, I do not recommend this line of work. However, if you are burning with curiosity, if your heart and intuition lead you to do things that don't make sense, well, then you really don't have a choice in the matter, do you? I hope that article brings you either clarity on whether being a self-employed independent creator is for you, or if you're already doing that, I hope it gives you the inspiration to keep moving, or the courage to quit. Building a career as a creator is a gradual process. Listen to James Altucher on episode 53. He'll tell you why what seems like a big and impossible dream really starts with simple steps.
You would never, in your entire life, you never would have thought to yourself, well, I'm going to move. I'm going to quit my job right now and move from Omaha, Nebraska to Columbia and get Steve Case on my podcast. Because it doesn't happen like that. You do things in little bits and pieces. You start off small and you get bigger and bigger.
Again, James is on episode 53. And if, like me, you feel a burning desire to do something, but you just don't know where to start, listen to Laura Roeder on episode 9.
You can do stuff that you've never done before. You know, I think that's really important to remember. Like, I, for a long time, wanted to start a software company, but I didn't really know how that would work. And I didn't really have an idea that I thought was good enough. And I still don't know how to build software, but now I have a software company. And I think we get really stuck in like, I don't know how to do that, or I don't have those skills. But, you know, unless you're 98 years old, hopefully you have a long life ahead of you. And if you're in your 30s or in your 40s or in your 20s, it would be so crazy to limit what you do for the rest of your life based on what you've done already.
Again, Laura is on episode 9. I work hard to help you crack the code on fulfilling work, If Love Your Work is helping you, there are some ways you can help support the show and make it even better. One is to subscribe. This is especially effective on Apple Podcasts or iTunes because it boosts rankings and helps others find the show. I know many of you listen on Overcast because you're the early adopter types. So even if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please subscribe there anyway. Subscribe in your iPhone, your iPad, your Apple TV, your computer. The more devices, the better. It really helps. Apple Podcast ratings help too. Just go to cadavy.net/apple, click on write a review, and click on the star rating. You don't even have to write a review. It just takes a couple of seconds. You can also join Love Your Work Elite. You'll get access to episodes before everyone else. You could even get ad-free interviews weeks in advance, and you can get your name or business mentioned in the credits of the show. For details, go to lywelite.com. That's lywelite.com. Love Your Work is brought to you in part by top Love Your Work Elite members such as Arif Akhtar. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. The theme music for the show is More Streets, performed by Spiderflower. Love Your Work is a production of Cadavy, Inc.